And now, if you would, take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, you'll find it on page 191 in your pew Bibles. We'll be reading at 1 Samuel 1, starting at verse 19 and going through 11 of 2 there. 1 Samuel 1, starting at 19. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him up and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. For I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warrior are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes, and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. And we thank you for the word that you've given us, Father, and as always, we ask you to bless your servant who is prepared, who you've laid on his heart today. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much, Shelby, for that beautiful rendition this morning of "This Little Light of Mine." It's hard to believe how much those songs that we learned as children have impacted us throughout life. At the close of the service, we're going to be singing another one of those songs that hopefully we learned as children, and is still a tremendous, tremendous song. Shelby, thank you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I don't know how many of you are aware, but this past Thursday evening, Bruce Fielding was elevated in his licensing process. He is now can legitimately sign his papers, Reverend Bruce Fielding, and So that's certainly a great honor. And he has been elevated to the status of a probationer. And he now has 6 years to complete all of the work that needs to be done to be ordained. He can do it in much shorter time if he works at it. But he has 6 years. But it certainly was a great honor. So, Bruce, God bless you. Okay. Women of faith. The woman of faith. As we were looking at some things in the early service this morning, we were considering the role of a Christian mom and the way that a Christian mom impacts the lives of children. Well, in this service, we want to look at one example of a Christian woman. She had been through a very disappointing time in her life in that she was barren and was unable to have a child. And that deeply affected this woman. And so as we have looked at the passage of Scripture, there are some things I would like to share with you. In fact, there's seven of them. I'm sure you're shocked at that. But I want us to look a bit at Hannah's prayer. The greatest gift that a child can be given is a Christian mom. That's the greatest gift that any child could have. Because those moms impact and influence those children for the rest of their lives. And as a Christian mom throws herself into the life of her children, her children, as we talked about earlier, rise up and call her blessed. And that becomes a very, very valuable thing. But I want to share with you regarding Hannah's prayer. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18 of chapter 1 at this time. And then we'll kind of look at this. The very first thing I want to share with you about this prayer is that it comes about with a bitterness of soul. Look with me at verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. "And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly." The phrase "greatly distressed" means that she felt, she sensed deep pressure, deep grief, deep agony over the fact that she was childless. You know, in this culture and in this time of life that Hannah was alive, the greatest gift that you could give to your husband was a man-child. To carry on the name, but then also to be able to present that child to the Lord. And to literally give the child back. And as Hannah is childless, she senses the disappointment in her husband over the fact that she is not able to bear children. And she, that pressure and that stress weighed heavily on her heart. And so she went before the Lord as a broken woman. She went before the Lord with as the scripture, some of the various translations say, with a bitterness. And it doesn't mean an anger, but it means a huge disappointment in life. And so as she comes before the Lord in this 10th chapter, she comes literally with this greatly distressing pressure on her life. You know, there are times when our lives become greatly distressed. When we feel the pressures and the stresses of life, and the only place to really go and get help and encouragement is to go to the Lord with those things. There are going to be those times when we sense some type of a disappointment and a discouragement. It may be something that we face of a physical nature. It may be something that we face of a moral nature. It may be something that we face of a disappointment in relationships. But we're going to sense a brokenness and a distress in our hearts. And that's what Hannah is going through. Her disappointment is so great that she feels that she has nowhere to turn. But you'll notice she goes to the right place. She goes to the door of the temple. There's significance there if you read the verse before. In other words, she goes to the house of God's residency. And in the Jewish nature, that was a real important aspect. We have cheapened the church in modern day times. And there's a movement within the church that I think is reprehensible, I'll be honest with you, in that we are removing from churches, these modern churches, are removing the sanctity and the awe of the sanctuary by putting in all-purpose rooms. And so we gather together and worship, and then we shove everything to the side and play basketball. I'm sorry, folks, that denigrates the purpose of the worship center. That really concerns me, because we are seeing a lack of respect for the house of God. That's free. You don't have to pay for that. All right. But anyways, Hannah comes to the right place. She comes to the doorposts of the temple of the Lord, where she can have God's attention. Not that she can't have it anywhere else, but in the Jewish mindset at that point, the temple was the place where the Shekinah glory of God would fall. And that glory of God would be so overwhelming and so powerful that it was a blessing to those who were there. And so that's where she comes, because she comes with a broken spirit, with a depressed heart, with a bitterness of soul. The second thing I want you to notice also in this 10th verse is that as she comes for this time of prayer, she comes weeping in anguish. This stress and this pressure is so strong, according to that 10th verse, that she wept bitterly. She comes before the Lord and weeps bitterly. She is so broken that the only expression that seems appropriate are the tears that flow from her eyes, that come from the heart that is broken. I remember when my oldest daughter, who stood up earlier, when my oldest daughter was born, I was totally inadequate as a father. I was the youngest in my family, and it's not around babies. You know, my brother had some babies, but I didn't touch them. And then my sister had a couple of boys, and of course, as babies, I didn't touch them because they weren't any good until they quit crying and messing themselves and could play ball. And so when my daughter comes along and I see this amazing package from God, I am scared to death. How can a little thing like that scare us to death? But I'll tell you, she did. She still does. She scares me to death. But, you know, and I looked at that and I thought, God, you are asking me to do the right things with this child. To help this child grow up to know you. And boy, I'll tell you, that was just overwhelming to me. And so amongst the joy of that baby being born is absolutely sheer panic. I don't know how to hold her. I wouldn't have any idea how to feed her. Do you give her 12 ounces before you burp her, or do you give her one? We arrived at a happy medium. But as she began to grow and began to do those things that people do, you know, smile, and you get that first smile, or the first time she grabs a hold of your finger, or the first time that she coos, not really wanting anything, but just wanting to coo, your heart begins to expand. And you begin to say, God, what an amazing gift you have given us. You see, Hannah didn't have that experience. She didn't have that completion of life. And she was broken. So she went before her Lord and she prayed. And she wept. And God moved. God moves in the prayers of His people. God moves and heals at our brokenness. God invests Himself in our lives when we sincerely, honestly, openly, brokenly go into His presence. You know, that's what prayer is all about. It's inviting God to do His will in our life. Third thing I want you to notice here is that as Hannah prays, she offers a solemn vow. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. God, if you'll give me this man child, I promise I'll give him back. I understand he's loan, L-O-A-N, from you. I understand that he is your son, your child. And I will see that he is given back to you. You know, this child, of course, becomes Samuel. And in the process of this Samuel, he becomes a tremendous blessing to a priest named Eli, who had seven sons, who were huge disappointment. But this faithful priest receives this child. And Samuel becomes one of the greatest priests and prophets in the history of Israel. Why? Because of a godly mom who made a vow, who made a promise. You know, our word in prayer or in contract, our vows, God takes very seriously. And we need to honor whatever our word is. Hannah did exactly that. She promised the Lord, "Look, I will give this child back to you. I'm going to offer this solemn vow, this serious commitment to you. Lord, if you will take away my shame by bringing me this man child, he'll be yours. I promise. I vow to you that I'll give him back." I think she's pretty serious in what she's asking of the Lord. So she offers in this prayer a solemn vow. And then notice fourth that she comes with this prayer with persistence. Look at verse 12. "Now as it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth." Then it came about as she continued praying before the Lord. She was going to be persistent. She was going to pray and pray and pray and pray and plead and vow and commit. And the priest Eli eavesdrops. He reads the words of her lips. That's very significant. And especially, please understand, during this time, I in tongue in cheek said he eavesdropped. All right? But in reality, here's this godly pastor whose family is a total wreck, who sees this childless woman pleading, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you to serve you, to serve in your house, to be a temple child." I'm sure that that spurred in the heart of Eli. I'm sure that that brought in him a moment of prayer and probably pleading with her, "God, please grant this woman's request. I don't have any offspring that's really going to follow along. So grant this request." But as he was watching her mouth, he was paying attention to the cry of her heart. And she was persistently, and as she continued praying before the Lord, over and over and over and over and over again, Eli was watching. Do we quit too quickly? Do we give up on our kids too quickly? Do we continually bring our children before the Lord over and over and over and over and say, God, please protect them. God, please make them the kind of clay that is not stubborn before you, but is very pliable, and that you can take and make this child into whatever you want. Lord, please protect our children. Please help them to not be stubborn and fall into a life of sinfulness. Do we persist in our prayers for our kids? Hannah did, even though there were none yet. That's how our prayer should be, persistent. The very next thing about this prayer is the fact that she was praying with her heart. Look at verse 13. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. As she was speaking in her heart. Have you ever had those moments in life when you're praying and you're kind of broken and you can't really verbalize what you want to say? And your lips move, but your voice is silent. It's kind of where she's at. And Eli, the priest, looks at her and is about to tell her, go home, sober up. But in reality, she's not drunk. She's just broken. And so as she prays and prays and prays, she's praying with her heart. Sometimes the mind is not enlightened, but the heart is full. Sometimes the mind is absolutely fine, but the heart is broken. And that's where Hannah's at. Now notice number 6, as she's praying with all of her soul. Look at verses 15 and 16. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman. For I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. I'm not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. That ever sound familiar? But what's she saying? She's saying, no, I'm not drunk. I'm broken. And I'm going before the Lord because I'm broken. And I'm before you as my priest because I'm broken. God has something special, and I want to be able to share in that. Folks, don't ever be ashamed to be broken before God. No matter what someone else might say, no matter what someone else might think, don't ever be ashamed to be broken before God. So, Hannah is crying out with all of her soul. I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. The very heart of who I am, the very essence of who I am, is open before God. It's placed before Him. I'm thoroughly thoroughly broken. We need more moms who will pray like that for their kids. Who will pray broken. But then notice last the fact that her prayer is a prayer with faith in God's promise. Look at verse 18. Eli answered her, said first of all in verse 17, "Go in peace and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." Now look at her response. And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She was no longer broken. Confidence had come in. Why? Because she was trusting that God heard her prayer, and the answer was on the way. You see, folks, when we go with an honest heart and with an open heart before God, we know that we have what we ask. We really do. And the Scriptures bear that out. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss that you might consume upon your own lusts." But then he goes on to say, but you can know that you have whatever you request if you're praying in faith, believing. Hannah takes this whole thing before the Lord, and she's able to get up from that place of prayer and walk away, no longer tears flowing, but instead a smile replaces the brokenness, because she knows that God is a God who hears, and He is a God who answers, and He is a God who cares about her sincerity. It's a God who reads the heart. And God knew this woman, with her vow, with her brokenness, with her promise, this woman's going to follow through. Can God say that about you? Does God answer your prayers with complete confidence that you're going to follow through? Have you given your children back to Him? Or have you kept them for yourself? Have you given yourself back to God? Or have you kept yourself for yourself? What does God want? A brokenness in us, so that He can reform, rebuild, renew, restore His image in us. So that He can do the work of healing, so that He can do the work that needs to be done. And we can have confidence. What can we learn from Hannah? Pray fervently. She put her soul in God's hands. Pray fervently. Pray persistently. She continued steadfastly in prayer over and over and over. And then pray faithfully. She believed that she was going to receive from God's hands. What happened? Samuel happened. The story of Samuel is an amazing account. Samuel faced some unpleasant circumstances. But you know what? he dealt with the Osama bin Ladens of his day. And he dealt swiftly. Everybody didn't understand. But he followed God's will. Why? Because Hannah honored her vow. Parents, you want your children to have the best opportunities in life, and you honor your vows. If you've given yourself to the Lord, then you live faithfully for Him. And you watch how God protects the lives of your children. Let's stand.